We are four lines up from the bottom. Okay, four lines up from the bottom. 85D, the end of 85D. Four lines up from the bottom.
85B5.
All the way at the end. Tshuva mechaperes al averes kalas al aseh v'aloisis. Tshuva atones for less severe averes. Aseh eloisis aseh. Okay, and then when you get to the more severe averes, you need Yom Kippur as well. Tshuva alone covers aseh eloisis. So the Gemara asks, Hashta alois aseh mechaperes. Which is more severe, transgression of an aseh or alois aseh? Transgression of alois aseh is more severe. So, this is evident from the fact that alois aseh carries malchus, right, and aseh does not. So, if tshuva alone can atone for alois aseh, al aseh mi bayit, it can certainly atone for an aseh. Okay? So, why does the Mishnah have to say both? Mishnah can just say that it atones for a lois aser. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hachika Amar, Alasei v'alois aser shenitak lasei. The Mishnah actually does not mean to say that tshuva alone atones for a lois aser. Lois aser here means lois aser shenitak lasei, meaning there are lois aser that the Torah tells you how to rectify. Meaning usually, punishment, right? But there are certain lois aser that the Torah tells you how to rectify. The classic example is noisar. You're not allowed to leave over of the Korban Pesach till the morning, right? So lois aser. If you do, what happens? Burn it. The Torah is telling you how to fix it. Another classic example is gazel. Isn't that interesting to note? There's no malchus for theft, right? All the lois aser is malchus for it. No malchus for theft. Why not? Because the Torah tells you what to do. But pay it back. Give it back. That's called the lois aser shenitak lasei. The Torah tells you what to do if you did that lois aser. That renders it lower severity. So it's not. We're indeed saying no. The Mishnah does not mean to say that tshuva alone atones for a regular lois aser. We're talking about these lower level lois aseres, which is basically the same as an aseh, and that's why yes, we say tshuva atones for an aseh and a low level lois aseh. So Gemara says, "Lois aseh gamur loy." Does it not atone for a full fledged lois aseh? It's a eating pork or a minu. We're going to show a contradiction to that. Elohim kalas. What are considered lesser averus that tshuva alone can atone for? Asei v'lois asei. Any asei and lois asei. Chutz mi loitisa. Except for the lois asei of loitisa. Do not take Hashem's name in vain. A false oath. So here it seems that yes, full-fledged lois aseis are also covered by tshuva alone, with the exception of loitisa. The Gemara says, no. Loitisa v'kol v'dami. And ordinary lois aseh, a classic lois aseh is not covered by tshuva alone. When we say except for lois aseh, we mean except for the class of lois aseh. Lois aseh is an example of a full-fledged lois aseh. And indeed, a full-fledged lois aseh is not covered by tshuva alone. It has to wait for Yom Kippur. And what is atoned for tshuva alone? Only the lower level. Lois aseh shenita klasa. Gemara says, Toshma, we'll try again to prove otherwise. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol shu min lois aseh o lamata, tshuva mechaperes. Lois sisa lamata, anything from lois sisa and down, tshuva atones for. Vi lois sisa o lamala, tshuva toile v'yom kippa mechaperes. Whatever is from lois sisa and up, tshuva just suspends it, but then you need a kippur to complete the impression.
Braid.
What's that? How do you braid lois aseh? So you're asking a very good question. But you're really asking, and I'm going to rephrase and tell you this is what you're looking at. How can you come and tell Hashem, this you like better, this you like worse? Right? Hashem said not to do it, how do we know it's worse? Right? And the truth is that essentially, you're right. It's like the Chavis HaFavah says, you want to figure out how severe an Avera is, you have to see who said not to do it. That's how you determine how bad an Avera is. Right? So, but nevertheless, we do have an indication of the terror of the system. It goes by the punishment. Right? The punishment gives an indication of levels of severity. You have Rabbeinu Yehuda really, in Sharei Tshuva, lines it all up. He has his voice of saying, it's a passive loisase. Loisase that you do without an action, like not giving back an aveira. Torah says a lost object. Torah says do not ignore it. If you do ignore it, you transgress the loisase, but passively. The next level is a loisase with an action, which already has malchus. It's more severe. The next level is a loisase that actually carries misa bidei shamayim. Right? That's even worse. That's by heaven. That, like eating truma, for example. You still have to eat truma. And there's taris. Right? Being with anida, chas v'sholem. And there's misa spezdin. Right? Chilul Shabbos. And there are the three cardinal sins that you have to give up your life. So by the level of the punishment, we can see what the level of severity is.
Mila, isn't there an auto say with Dibor?
What's
isn't,
that?
Isn't Dibor lower level than...
That's right. Dibor is a class that's lav shein by mice. I gave the example of completely passive ways to say, but you're right. Dibor is called without an act. Yes. Yeah. The Rabbanon is even lower than the first level. The Rabbanon is, to me, a tone of just truth. Yes.
Okay.
The Gemara says here also Loisisa l'chol d'dami. When we say that Loisisa and up Tshuva suspends and you need him kippah to complete the atonement, it means Loisisa and everything classed with. So we're still insisting that Loisisa is not atoned for by Tshuva alone, only the lower level Loisisa is. The Gemara says Tashma, we'll still try to disprove it. V'tishenema b'chorim Tshuva v'nake. It says in the Torah that with tshuva, Hashem will cleanse your aver. Okay? Yachol af loitisa imayim. So you might think that this also includes loitisa. Don't swear falsely. Tamu loyinat, loyinat. So the Torah therefore says, loyinake. No. Hashem will not cleanse you for an aver.
Shneimar is a pasuk.
What's that?
Shneimar should be followed by a pasuk.
Shneimar? Where? Which
Shneimar? The Shneimar.
No. Here it's not quoting a pasuk per se. The Shneimar b'chayiv is simply being translated literally, since it was stated in Chayiv at Har Sinai.
Stated what?
Tshuva v'nakeh. These are not. This is not a verbatim quote from a pasuk. It says that if a person does tshuva, then v'nake. V'nake is actually from the pasuk. Right? Okay. So, you see, if you do tshuva, you will be cleansed. You might think that it includes also like tisa. No, Hashem also says, I will not cleanse. So, on the one hand, Hashem says, you do tshuva, I'll cleanse you for an avera. On the other hand, Hashem comes to stretch and says, no, I won't cleanse you. So, so you might think that when Hashem says, I won't cleanse you, it includes also other loisases. Hashem says, no. I will not cleanse a person who takes my name in vain, right? Hashem will not cleanse a person who takes his name in vain. So, when we say that Hashem will not cleanse, it means specifically to something that has to do with violating his name. When you make an oath in his name, that he won't cleanse. But he will cleanse other regular loisas. So this brayso does seem to imply that in the class of loisases, loisisa, swearing falsely, stands out. It's in its own grade. That's the one that cannot be cleansed by tshuva alone, but other loisases can. This goes against the implication of our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tanoi. This is really the conclusion. It's a machloikis. Whether tshuva can atone for a regular loisosei or not. The Tanya, as it says in the Braisa, al ma tshuva mechaperet. What can tshuva atone for? Al loisosei, sorry, al asei. Va loisosei shenita klas. For an asei, and for a loisosei that's rectified by an asei, like we're saying, a lower level loisosei. Al ma tshuva telavim tshuva mechaperet. What will tshuva just suspend for, but you need Yom Kippur to complete the atonement? Al criticism, he suspends it on more severe affairs. Courage, he suspends it. Ve'al loisasei gamor, and also for a full-fledged loisasei. So what's our bottom line here? Our bottom line here is that we showed two braises. The Mishnah was unclear. If the Mishnah means to say that tshuva alone atones for a full-fledged loisasei, we could interpret it in one of two ways. We ended up concluding that there are different tanaim say different things. We have a braisa that clearly says that loisasei is its own league. All other loisasei are atoned for by tshuva alone. And then we have this other braisa that says no. A loisasei, tshuva alone will not atone for, you need a kippur as well. Okay. So it's a machloikis for nights. I just want to note, it is coming out clear here that loisasei is considered more severe than an asei. Right? That is coming out clear here. Now let me contrast that with another halacha. The halacha is that if a loisasei and an asei clash, what's the rule? What overrules? The asei wins. This seems to imply that an asei is considered weightier than a loisasei. Is there a conflict here? On the one hand, we're saying that loisasei is a more severe transgression. Tshuva alone can't atone for it. You need to. Asei is in tshuva on the spot, mostly. On the other hand, we're saying that an asei overrides a loisasei. Is there a conflict here?
I know.
What's that?
I remember learning sometime. I say is a lost opportunity. So when you are, so you can't do teshuva for that. You didn't do anything wrong. You just, in terms of like messed up the world. You just didn't take up the opportunity to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu to make the world a better place. So it's a completely different kind of category. And you can't really directly compare them.
Oh, okay. Okay. I want to bring out the point that you're saying, develop it a bit more. And Jonathan is saying that there's really two completely different concepts. And I say it's a missed opportunity. It's not that you did something bad. You missed an opportunity. You didn't take up an opportunity you should have taken. Now here I want to know it. I want to qualify this somewhat. Because, and I say, at the end of the day, you're commanded to do it, you didn't do it. There is a level of transgression. Right, there is a level of transgression there, and therefore, it does require tshuva. Just like you're saying, it's a lower level. Well, put it as like this. And really, the Rambam talks about it, he makes a simple point, it's a rabbi's point. The real point is that, like you're saying, you can't really weigh one against the other, because it's like saying, is a lemon more sour, or is a cucumber more green? Right? You can talk about whether a cucumber is greener than a light green green pepper. Whether a lemon is more sour than you can't talk about whether a cucumber is more green than a lemon is sour, right? The answer is really obvious. And I say, you have a father with two kids, okay? What aggravates? Very simple. I don't know why I'm having a hard time putting this together. What is more aggravating? When someone does something to spite you, or when someone doesn't give you $1,000? Which is more aggravating? Okay? Nobody here is giving me $1,000 this week. I'm fine with that. Okay? But I'm not offended. But the answer is, obviously, it's more aggravating to be spited. Right? But what makes you happier, not to be spited or to be given $1,000? Right? If you didn't spite me this week, I'm not going to come to you and give you a big yashukaya. Right? Unless I know you had good reason to. Right? So, if you spite me, I'll be very aggravated. But not spiting me doesn't earn you a big yashukaya. right? Giving me something big, that earns a yashakoya. If you didn't give me something big, I'm not going to be mad at you, right? I'll be mad at you if you spite me. That's really the idea, right? But let's say, when we're talking about which one overrides, okay, what is more precious to Hashem? That you did something He wanted, or that you didn't do something that He doesn't want? What's more precious to Hashem? If you did something He wanted, right? Right? Why are you saying no?
Doing something you want or not, or
reframing.
Right, reframing. God likes the
Torah. Oh, okay, you're getting into a bit of a subtler level. Well, let's talk about a case where it's not like that. There's no struggle involved. Let's talk about a case where there's no struggle involved. Like what? That's right. That's right. You don't get. That's true. But still, at the end of the day, what is more beloved to Hashem? When you do the things He wants you to do, or when you refrain from doing wrong things? What brings you closer to Him? Why? Well, you don't forget the mashal. The mashal might not be so great. But what brings you closer to Hashem?
Doing
something that He wants you to do?
Yeah.
Or refraining from doing something that He doesn't want you to do?
It's active. Refraining is not active.
What's that?
Proactive.
Should be equal. So that here, it's not. Let's give the mashal of two kids. Right? One makes sure not to do what the father doesn't let. The other is always trying to figure out what he can do to please the father. Which one is the father happier?
Right?
The latter. That's what we're saying here. In terms of what does Hashem value more, Hashem values an Aseh more than a Loisus. In terms of what angers Hashem more, Hashem is more angered by transgression of a Loisus than transgression of an Aseh. I'll give you another example. Like the father says, kids, I don't want you using my computer. Okay? So he says, that's number one. And number two, he says, I want you to have your homework done by 6 tonight. Okay? Tells all the kids the same thing. One kid used his computer. The other kid did not have the homework done by 6. Who's he going to be angrier at? Huh?
Computer.
Right? Now you might say, okay, it's because the computer is expensive. But forget that, right? Let's say, sorry, I don't want you going into my study. Okay? That was a rule in our house when I was growing up until it just got completely... I don't want you going into my study. Is he going to be madder at the kid who did what he said not to do, or the kid who did not do what he said to do? Okay? Naturally, he'd be madder at the kid who did something that he said not to do. Right? It's an active, you're getting up and wanting me in an active way. So therefore, yeah, so we're talking about which is more important in terms of what is pitted against the other. What is Hashem going to want more? Right? Aseh is more precious than Hashem. But when we're talking about which angers Hashem more, the transgression of Aleh Aseh is going to anger Hashem more. Okay, but
if you did last Sunday, something.
What's that?
We're
showing conflicting implications here as to which is weightier, an Aseh or Aleh Aseh. Right? So, because here the Gemara says that if you transgress an Aseh, you truly are forgiven immediately. Lois Aseh, you need to wait for him, which implies that Lois Aseh is waiting. On the other hand, the principle is that when Lois Aseh and Aseh clash, Aseh overrides. This implies that Aseh is waiting. So, we're explaining that performing an Aseh is more beloved to Hashem than refraining from Lois Aseh. But transgressing Lois Aseh angers Hashem more than transgressing an Aseh. There's really no conflict there. But it makes a lot of sense if you think about it in interpersonal concept. Now, we just have to make a point that Reb Ra'anan said a certain qualification of this point. That when we're talking about a Lois Aseh that's tempting you, it's not just an issue of not doing what Hashem didn't want you to do. There's a lot of dedication expressed in keeping it once it's tempting you. So it gets a little more confusing. Because, yes, transgressing an Aseh will sometimes involve elements of spiting Hashem. And fulfilling a Lois Aseh, depending on what it is, can sometimes involve elements of great dedication to Hashem and drawing yourself close to Him in a very big way. So, therefore, I'm just leaving you with a certain caveat. But in a general way, the concept, we understand that the fulfillment of an asay is more beloved to Hashem than fulfillment of a loisa, observing a loisa, while transgressing a loisa is more kibyachol offensive to Hashem than transgressing an asay.
You're comparing
You're coming back to the point that we said that people don't really necessarily fit on the same scale. That's true. But again, I'll ask you the question, right? Which kid is going to please you more? One kid comes and tells you, "Dad, look what I bought you. I bought you a little something. It's a trinket from the store. Okay, nothing major. Dad, look what I bought you. Gives you a good feeling, right? Just because of what it is, right?" The other kid comes and says, "Dad, I want you to be proud of me. I did not take out your car today and wreck it." I'm sorry, I get a bad example. "I didn't take your car out today and wreck it." So who are you going to give a bigger pat on the back? Right? So you're right, the two don't really pair up. But in concept, at least you understand, there isn't a conflict if we say that a say overrides a lois say when the two clash, while at the same time we say that a lois say is more severe than a say. Yeah, it's a little bit... Okay, you got to have to wrap your head around it. Okay. We move on. Right.
So you're saying, I don't see what you said to the concept of
So the truth is, right, he didn't really get to be on the point that we mentioned. We have to differentiate between a loisa say that involves a struggle and a loisa say that does not. A loisa say that involves a struggle and a loisa say that does not. Like, let's say, for example, you come and tell Hashem, "Hashem, for the last 10 years, I meticulously observed the iser to eat insects." Okay? I meticulously observed the prohibition against eating insects.
You mentioned that you hate insects.
What's that? You know what the Jews are Jonathan is making a good point. It's not so easy if you're not careful with your fruit and vegetables. It's like I heard somebody say protein-rich fruit and vegetables. But we'll give a different example. Okay, the issue to eat camels. Okay? I meticulously observed that. How much credit are you going to get for that? Okay? But what you're saying is correct. If we're talking about an iser that is much more relevant to everyday life, and it's the type of thing that we could struggle with, there, really, the Gemara already gives that caveat and says, when a person is faced with temptation and overcomes it, and sits down and does not allow himself to transgress that lois haseh, that moves into the category of an haseh. That's called doing something for Hashem. That's not called just refraining. Okay? So yes, you come to Hashem and say, "Hashem, I didn't eat blood. Okay? I never married my sister-in-law. Okay? And, you know, a few other such things that who's going to really do that?" Not going to get that much credit. When you come and you say to Hashem, "Look, in my line of business, ribbis was a real issue. Interest. Right?
You're a banker.
Yeah.
You're a banker.
And you say, I never did that," that's already achievement. That's more than just
All right, I didn't get myself into trouble. That's already achieved. It's true. It's true. Whenever you talk about an area that you are tested by and that is a struggle for you, we're not putting that out of the sense, because the Gemara already says, conceptually, that moves from the realm of Moshe saying to the realm of us saying. That's called fulfilling a mitzvah. That's not called refraining. That's called fulfilling a mitzvah. Okay. Fine. Now, as Jonathan noticed earlier, we seem to be citing a pasuk, but then the Gemara did not exactly cite the pasuk. The Gemara kind of just said a concept. It says in the Torah, it's said by our Sinai, for tshuva Hashem cleanses abeis. The Gemara didn't actually cite a pasuk for that. It says in our Sinai, we said in our Sinai that Hashem cleanses abeis of tshuva. So now the Gemara comes back and asks, where exactly does it say that? V'nakeinimalon. Where does it say that for tshuva, Hashem will cleanse you? What does it say that in our Sinai? Tani. It says in the Braisa. It says in our Sinai. At the parsha of the Egel. Rabbi Lazar Oyel. Again, we have that interest to remember the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem Kel Rav and Hashem. It ends with Erech Hapayim Rav Chesed Nois 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 Vinake lo yinake, and cleanse he will not cleanse. So now, what does this mean? Will Hashem cleanse Averis or will he not cleanse it? So the lesson says, if shaloi manake, you cannot say that Hashem cleanses Averis, shekvanema lo yinake, because within the same breath he says he will not cleanse. Okay? He has shalom aloyinake, but at the same time he can't say that he will not cleanse Averis. Shekvanema nake, but says that he will cleanse him, right? The pasuk says yes or no in the same breath. Nake loyinake. Cleanse he will not cleanse. Now again, the simple understanding of the pasuk is it's stressing that he won't cleanse. But the Gemara is darshaning that no, nake is a statement he cleanses. And then we go ahead and we say he does not cleanse. So okay, so how does that work? The pasuk itself is implying that in some circumstances Hashem will cleanse your averus, and in some circumstances He will not. And how does that work? Simple. Menakeh hu hashavim. He'll cleanse those who do tshuva. Ve'ena menakeh l'sheinu shavim. But He will not cleanse those who don't do tshuva. Okay. We move on. Shah Rabbi Masih ben Choresh is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ben Rabbi. This is really going to bring home the kind of tie together what we've been discussing. Shamata avol chiluki kapar. Shaya Rabbi Shmuel Derish. I heard that Rabbi Shmuel said that there are four different categories of how atonement works. So, do you know what it is? So, Omar, he said, Shleshay. No, there aren't four categories. There are four elements. So there's really three categories. Tshuva and Kalecho Be'echon. There are three categories. Each goes along with tshuva. Then you got confused. You heard that there's tshuva, there's this, and there's this, and there's this. Tshuva is really the ingredients of each category. How does that work? Omar al-Aseh, Vishav. If a person transgresses an Aseh in the tshuva, Einozaz Nishamat Shemozvim. Doesn't move from there before that Mozvim. Meaning, gets immediate Mechila. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Shuvu Bani Sheivav. Come back, wayward sons. It's an immediate process. Therefore, Meshuvah Yisaychem. You do tshuva, I'll heal you. There's no waiting. Omer al loisa say the asa tshuva. If you transgress the loisa say, then you did tshuva. Tshuva kaila, tshuva suspends it. V'yam kippur mechap. And Yom Kippur completes the atonement. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk. On this day Hashem will atone for your sins, which implies you need to wait for this day. It does not happen immediately. So therefore we're giving that the next level. We're working with conflicting implications of psukim. We have a pasuk that implies that you do tshuva, you get mechila. So we're attributing that to the lowest level of an aveira. Transgressing Hashem. Then we have a pasuk that implies you gotta wait for Yom Kippur.
So we're giving that to the next level. Alaysas. Now here I just want to know. What's the idea of waiting for Yom Kippur? Why can't it be immediate? So it's just interesting to know. Bring it here already. The Meiri says that really you can get immediate Mechila for any Aveira. It just depends on how intense your tshuva is. And generally speaking, people who are more intense tshuva need to. But if a person makes a Yom Kippur in the middle of the year, he can get Mechila for an ordinary Aveira as well. But if we'll take the Gemara simply understood, no, tshuva suspends the Aveira, Yom Kippur completes the atonement. Let's understand the workings here. Let's understand the workings. What is tshuva? Tshuva is about coming back to Hashem. That's really what tshuva means. The word shav, to return, right? It's to return. You have to bring yourself back to your previous standing with Hashem. So if so, why should it make a difference? That's really all tshuva is, right? Why should it make a difference? Why should a more severe avera require a longer time? Well, the answer really is obvious. This is all really what we'll call a chinuch process. The efforts that Hashem needs to go for to attain mechila, to attain His forgiveness, is not just that, oh, this is going to be harder to appease Hashem. That's not the idea. Hashem is killing off with the sound. He's easy to appease. He tells us that. I'm easy to appease. Just what? The issue is us. The issue is us. You get an Aveira. That has an effect on you, on your psyche, right? Something that should have been impossible became possible. You are now a person of a lower level because you're a person who's capable of doing such a thing. Okay? Now, it's not just enough that you get forgiveness from the other. That's not the end goal here. The end goal here is for you to bring yourself back to the level you were at before you did the Aveira. To you to bring yourself to a place where, no, this Aveira cannot happen. It cannot have happened. So now, you've been an Aveira, so to speak, of a lower level. You transgressed an Aseh. You immediately have sincere regret. Fine. But when you did a Lois Aseh, you made a bigger statement to yourself. Okay? You made a bigger statement to yourself. We know that a person is affected by the things he does. Right? Initially, you don't have the guts to do something. You do it once, twice. Well, I talked about this in terms of Aveira. So, well, that's like this with everything. Like something you're nervous about the first time. You're uncomfortable about the first time, etc. You do it once, twice. It changes your feelings on the matter. Okay? When you did something more severe, you made a bigger statement to yourself. Your psyche was affected in a deeper way. And therefore, the tshuva process, in order to counter that, has to be more drawn out and more intense. Hashem puts you up to a bigger challenge and makes you go through more in order to achieve that atonement, in order for you to bring yourself back to a state of, whoa, that really wasn't worth it. So therefore, that's the shot that more severe requires a longer, a more arduous or a bigger ordeal in order to attain the atonement. Now, there's a premise here. The premise here is that if a person really wants the tshuva, what's the psychology here? What's the psychological effect on the person? If what happens is that the person says, all right, I did not there, I regret it. So sorry, you don't get full atonement until you give it. Okay, I'm going to make a note of it. Now move on. Set my, you know, I have a computer that reminds you at a certain point. Set my alarm clock to Kippur. And in Kippur, I got to do tshuva again. Okay. There wasn't really that much of an effect. The whole concept of tshuva toilet, the whole concept of tshuva suspending the Aveira, is meant to be create a reality where you feel edgy and uncomfortable because of the fact that I still have this hanging over my head. And therefore, you did the Aveira, let's say, in Thomas. Okay? You did your tshuva, but no, you didn't get your full atonement. You're just not at peace. You're just not at peace because of the fact that I still have these things hanging on my head. And you go through whatever amount of time it is until you finally hit your Kippur, you're a bit more traumatized.
right? Within our day, within our say, you transgressed, you did the tshuva, you are forgiven, you regret it, and that's good enough. But because of the greater effect that the loisa say has on you, you actively transgress what Hashem is saying. It has a greater effect on your nefesh, on your psyche. Okay? We want you to be more traumatized, and therefore, we're not talking about anything who knows how drastic, but it's a few months of discomfort and suspense. Does that say something? Oh. Now, this is, here we're talking about a very high level, because most of us can't operate this way. Right? People in earlier times did. A person was sitting in a certain state of discomfort until he got his defeat. Now, again, we this is really beyond our capacity. But it's quite amazing. You look at Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva. It's like a scary thing. But I think I've said this here in the past. The Baruch Berlebovich, the legendary Baruch Berlebovich, was in the early days when they were what they called the so-called Musar movement. They were trying to introduce Musar into the curriculum of yeshivas. We talked about this whole discussion in the past. They were trying to introduce Musar into the curriculum of yeshivas, and they met opposition. That's how it should be. Any attempts to make any sort of change or adaptation to the yeshiva structure must be met with stiff opposition, and it has to prove itself in a very big way in order to make it through the barriers. Musar ultimately did, but it met initially with opposition, and it took a while until, slowly but surely, it completely infiltrated into the yeshiva. And history proved the merit of it. But one of the opponents was a Baruch Berlebovich. He didn't want to introduce it into his yeshiva. At one point, the Reuven Lubavitch, Mashkiach Amir, was arguing with him about it, debating with him about it, the importance of learning it every day, etc. And the Baruch Berlebovich finally said, you know what? I'm going to try it myself first. And then I'll see what I think. Don't be so important to come in here. I'll try it myself first, and then I'll see what I think. So, fine. A little while later, I don't know if it was a few days, a week, so I don't know what it was. But if you also met Baruch Ber again, Baruch Ber said, I can't do it, no way. So he said, why? Why are you so adamant? Like, you're so much stronger now than you did before. He said, since we had that discussion, I've been learning Shari Tshuva every day, and I'm not sleeping at night. I'm not sleeping at night. I can't do this to my Talmidim. Okay? That was everyone understand where the opposition of a man like Rabbi Meir came from, therefore it came from. Okay? But how does this manifest?
Just one story.
Along the same lines, the son of Rebbe told the story that when he was learning in Lakewood by Rabbi Aaron Cutler, some old man once came to Lakewood. He had been in the yeshiva with Rabbi Aaron Cutler as a boy. And he heard that he became a big Rosh Yeshiva. He wanted to come see his old pal from when they were kids. He came to Lakewood for a shot. Some of the other Shlomo Brevda was helping him, taking care of him, you know, set him up with accommodations, and he was taking him out. And this old man was like, he was skeptical. He said, making such a big deal out of him. He was just a regular kid. He's not looking so great. So Shlomo Brevda said, okay, he took him with a grain of salt. But then they're talking about all kinds of different things. And then he started talking about Musa. And this old man said to him, oh, Musa is great. One sefer don't learn. One sefer keep away from. Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yehuda. Keep away from that. He doesn't let you live. Keep living with that sefer. So Son of Rebbe said, oh, I knew which sefer to pick. Whatever the point is, yes, Shari Tshuva is an intense sefer. Well, what's the point I'm getting at? You see in Shari Tshuva, his first char is made of four main sections. The first char is just describing the process of Tshuva. He has 20 steps. They're very, very intense. Many of them involve the rest of your life. Right? And you start reading that and you're like, whoa. Right? And then at one point, he throws in, like he has 20 steps, and at one point he throws in, the way we're setting it up is just for a person to sit on a one-time basis. But if you sit on a regular basis, you should switch number four with number five. The order should be reversed. Step number four, step number five. Like you read that and you're like, oh gosh. And a person did an Avera one time, this is what Rabbeinu Yehuda is subject to. it talks about how a person spends the rest of his life weeping. And he's always walking around with a picture of the Avera in front of him. And having said Abinian is not talking to people of our time. That's clear. Okay, he himself says that in a different word. He has a whole different approach. But he's going all the way. Okay? So, the point that I'm trying to make is this understanding that essentially, though it's beyond our capacity, let's understand this dynamic. When a person lived in Avera, when people were living with the full capacity of Rosnius, this was something that sat on a person. He didn't have relief from it, right? Until he knew that he was fully atoned for. Until he knew that he was fully atoned for. And this is the idea here. You did a lot, you transgressed the Leisah say. No. I'm going to schlep it out a little bit. Hashem is going to sentence you to a few months of having to live with the Avera. And that is a due way of traumatizing you. You had to live for 8 months with the knowledge that I have an Avera hanging over my head. You'll be duly traumatized. You won't come back to that Avera's office. We're talking about sublime levels. So let's expose ourselves to that. And Mamish along these lines of Binyan, as we talked the other day, there are a number of reasons given. We know that it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Kippur, right? It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Kippur. We gave one explanation the other day. There are a number of explanations. Each one is so important. We gave one explanation the other day. So you should have Tzach and Yom Kippur, right? Let's see. Binyan gives another explanation. He says, again, he describes this fellow who, at some point throughout the year, you know what? He did not have it. Right? And he's waiting. Yom Kippur is going to be cleansed. He's going to be cleared of it. When Yom Kippur is finally here, he wants to throw a party. Just that you can't throw a party on Yom Kippur. So you do not have Yom Kippur. But that's what the Sudan is. Yom Kippur is about, Rabbi Yehuda said. It's the second explanation. He had the first explanation as long as he said the other day. But the second explanation is this. You want to let out that joy, right? I had that Avera hanging on me all year. Now I'm going to throw a party. It's going to be off my head. So the truth is, really, it should be Yom Kippur itself. Right?
But you can't do that on Yom Kippur. Are you saying it can't be on Yom Kippur itself? Because you
can't. Right, but you can't eat.
But the thing is, the whole idea is it's no longer upon you. So where Yom Kippur is still upon you.
Oh, so the truth is, really, it's showing the anticipation. You're so excited about the fact that it's coming up. The truth is that what you're saying does not go unmentioned. There's, for that reason, it actually says in halacha to make a suda of Yom Kippur. Even if you're the type, not just technically, just fast and roll down the suda. Even if you're the type that just likes coffee and cake after a fast, there's a special Indian to make a proper suda of Yom Kippur. Wash, sit down, a proper suda. For the reason you're saying, that sense of relief, that lecha chol b'simcha l'asmecha, right? Go eat your bread with joy because it's like the pasuk that we apply to Yom Kippur. Go eat your bread with joy because Hashem has accepted your action. Right? But nevertheless, the Torah turns it, the way the Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur works is that the Torah turns it to, kind of merges the 2 days together. Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur are meshed together. And therefore, the celebrating Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, you actually do on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay. What's the next gather? What about Christus and Isis Bezdin? If a person transgressed Taurus, an Avera that carries Taurus or death by Bezdin, thus a tshuva is a person cohabited with a forbidden woman. Okay? Thus a tshuva. Tshuva, the Yom Kippur, toiling. Tshuva and Yom Kippur just to spend the Avera. The Yisurim, the Malki. And it takes suffering to erase the Avera. Shenema.
So why is it Chayav Mitzvah Tzedakah?
What's that? No, we're talking about a person who's not going to be killed by Bezdin. Oh. A person who's going to be killed by Bezdin is no... Bezdin don't factor this in. We're talking about an Avera that carries and you want to do tshuva, right? What achieves you the atonement?
Oh, you're doing Shashu.
Right. Or nowadays. Right? Nowadays. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's the Misa that atones for the person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, Fakati Beshevet Hisham, I will visit upon them their sin with staff, with afflictions their sin. So, yes, here, Averis of this level, you actually need suffering for. And here's also the same idea. After a person suffered the effect of his Avera in a conscious way, it's very important, you have to realize this. You through his suffering only achieve atonement if you take it that way. If you take it that way, you have to accept the suffering, you have to acknowledge the suffering as an atonement to the Avera, and then it has that effect. Then it has that effect. But here also, it's all the same idea of, I feel like the Avera just caused me trouble. In addition to the suspense of waiting for Yom Kippur, I have to go through this suffering because of the Avera. This is the Sivos, again, that brings you back to that state of, an Avera is not something that can happen. So, here we'll comment, that yes, there are Averas that can put a person into a situation now, that he needs suffering in order to be properly atoned for.
That's next.
Let me get there. So, Rabbi Yoin already comes. What's that?
Of course, things seem strange.
That what?
That he's chayav priestess and Mrs. Beidin, but Yisarin gets him out of it. I mean, why is he chayav priestess and Mrs. Beidin? Yisarin.
Okay. You're asking in a case where a person is going through Yisurin, will better than kill him? That's what you're asking.
No, I'm saying why as Hashem said he's five pieces and this is baked in, if he can clean himself from the Avera with just Yisurin.
I don't know. But here we want to make the fundamental point that Rabbi Yoina makes. That there are a few outs to this. First of all, it's just important to note. We have no idea how these things exactly work, how much Yisurin. It's completely individual. Once you're talking about with Hashem meeting out the punishment, it's not quantified in the way that Hashem's punishment is quantified. It's very, very individualized. How much suffering, etc. But Rabbi Yehuda says there's a few tracks you should go on if you're in this position. Because there are a few things that can take the place of suffering. First of all, Torah learning. Torah can take the place of suffering. You step up your learning. Number two, chesed. Engaging in extra chesed, stepping up your chesed activities can also take the place of suffering. And here I'll give two perspectives on each of these, that it's not just the gimmick, but it actually moves it into the realm of suffering. Meaning what? Torah, of chronological says something very blunt, you know, I might be feel that I can't admit to this sort of thing. So the chronological says it doesn't have to be below my dignity either. He says, between me and you, right? How's the learning experience? Absolute bliss, utopia, right? Chronological says, okay, now let's talk Lamaisa. How's the learning experience? It's sometimes rough, right? I sometimes feel like torture is. Right? It does sometimes, right? Once he's saying it, we can say, yeah, you're right. Right? So he says, so look at this. You're supposed to suffer. You're supposed to go through suffering. Why not choose the most profitable form of suffering that exists? Sit down, you have a headache, you're not in the mood, you're tired. Tear yourself over a blot of Gemara. You suffered. There. That's the suffering we're talking about. Why do you have to go through some other form of misfortune which isn't actually accruing profit? Right here, you're fulfilling the greatest mitzvah that there is, elevating yourself, and also getting the advantage of suffering. So, doctor, you have a headache? That's a great time. You're exhausted? That's a great time. This is a sugya that you really just don't connect to? Great! Here you're going to get, you've been yoked to your suffering. Now about chesed. How does chesed work into this idea? The stipler says something so profound. The stipler says, you're supposed to suffer. You look around for somebody else who's going through something rough. And you decide, I am going to shoulder along with it.
I'm going to suffer somebody else's problem along with him. That will be counted in the Shemayim as your suffering. And therefore, Chesed, you're lending a hand, someone's going through a rough time. Even Stucker, you sit down and contemplate. Don't just give the Stucker mindlessly, but try to sense what the person is sensing. Hurt along with it. Hurt along with him. And be a part of it. That's the Chesed that we're talking about. You're suffering along with him. Oh, so you're suffering. That's Yisurim. These are all means of choosing the suffering that you're going to get in the most profitable way. Okay, there's more to this. We'll stop with this. Yes, that should be it. Okay, at this point, guys, like I said, we're past the sun.